Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. If this is your first time streaming or downloading the program, Guelph Politicast is an interview show where I talk to politicians, activists, and people of note making a difference, or just trying to make life in the Royal City more interesting. For previous episodes of the Guelph Politicast, you can find them on the Guelph Politicast channel, on Podbean, or you can subscribe through iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Today I talk to myself again, sort of. Last week I put out a request for questions from you, the general listening public, about anything you might like to ask concerning City Hall, City Council, and City matters. Some of you responded with some interesting queries on a number of topics, and I will attempt to make sense of them and the issues on this week's show. Your questions is the topic of this week's Guelph Politicast. Since I'm already talking a lot on this week's podcast, I'll keep the intro short and sweet. As I wrote in my recent Guelph Today column, it's a very busy fall at City Council with Guelph Hydro merger talks, the 2018 budget, and the regular business of City Council, so even for those of you that don't follow Council religiously, it might be hard to keep up with all the goings-on. Last week, I invited readers, listeners, and strangers to ask me some questions for any clarity they seek on any city issue, and I hope that they get it on this week's podcast. So in all, there were about a dozen questions asked from a variety of sources. The questions touched on infrastructure, the election, hydro, the budget, the environment, and of course transit. To help me out as the quiz master, I reached out to Candice Lepage, one of my co-hosts from the End Credits radio show, and herself a local Politico. She graciously accepted the opportunity, so thanks to Candice for lending a hand this week. So without further ado, let's answer your questions. So, Candice, thank you for being the quiz master today.
Quiz master? You're going to be tested after this.
Yes, you've been promoted from co-host to quiz master. Next is Riddler.
Ooh, all right.
That will cost you, that's a $5,000 course to be promoted to Riddler.
All right, start saving.
Yep.
Now I feel like I should switch questions here. All right. We now have an infrastructure levy.
Mm-hmm.
What's the council's definition of infrastructure? What will they use the funds for? And what doesn't qualify?
That's an interesting question. I think a lot of people are curious because it has been almost a year since that was passed at the last budget. So that was they should have a bit of a nest egg now. This was actually talked about a couple of weeks ago at a meeting. When we're talking about infrastructure, the way the city's dealing with it is about three categories. There's obviously the backlog stuff, so there's stuff that has to get done. It's been on the list of things that has to get done. There's almost $500 million in backlog infrastructure too. So let's make that point. So there's stuff that has to get done, a lot of road work, a lot of pipes that need to be replaced, so on and so forth. And then there's the things that that have to be improved because population has grown. So in order to keep pace with just the population growth and how many more people are here, there are things that need to be done. So, you know, maybe more roads, more sidewalks, things like that. And then the last category is what they call city building. Mm-hmm. So improvements being made to make the city ready to, you know, for more people in the future. This would include something like the South End Rec Center. But of course, the trick is that a lot of these things can fall into all three categories. So let's take, there'll be a specific question later on about the library, but to foreshadow, mm-hmm. let's say. The library can fall into the three categories. The present main branch library was built in the 60s. That's 50 years ago if you're keeping score at home. So yeah. There's been a lot of changes in Guelph, and they're kind of bursting at the seams in terms of space. So that goes into option two. Now they could expand the main branch. At another floor or something like they're doing to the police headquarters. Or it could go into option three, which is city building, which is, of course, what they want to do, which is build a brand new sort of cultural hub slash new main branch library.
New building, new everything.
So it could fall into anywhere. And I think you'll find out a lot of things as well, like the South End Rec Center. It could be city building. But also there are a lot of people in the South End of Guelph who don't have easy access to recreational facilities. Like a pool, like a rink. So this is the tricky spot where it lies. Now, the person asked, what doesn't qualify?
Yeah.
So something that wouldn't qualify, I think, well, the way they're looking at it is the debate's coming up. They want to dedicate 90% to the catch-up to to repairing everything and getting the city to where we are to service the 120 some odd thousand people are here now, and then 10% to city building. So the emphasis is on clearing that $500,000 backlog. I don't know what specifically wouldn't fall into it, but there's a lot of work that needs to be done. So, I mean, maybe if you're hoping for a new skate park or something, that might not be in the immediate future. But it shows you what there's a lot of to there's a lot of considerations, in other words. So,
yeah. All right. A giant book sale is coming up. Will we ever see a new library downtown?
Yes. Good segue. No, the new library, some people may not realize, is that there's actually, they're developing the business case right now. So they had this sort of interim report at council, I think it was at the council meeting in September. So they're doing it with KPMG. I'm sure you've probably seen KPMG commercials, but they're an auditor that the city uses a lot in terms of checking the books and the variances and the quarterly reports and things. So they're developing a business case right now. So there will be some time for public input in the near future, because I think they're looking at bringing this report back in January, at least the early part of next year. So be on the lookout for that. There will be an opportunity for people to provide input into the business case, what they want to see in a library. Because some of the things they're taking into account is like space. How much space does the library need? How much space of that space is going to be dedicated to books and periodicals and microfiche? And the typical things you think of when the library, and how much of that space is going to be dedicated to meeting rooms or performance space, or should they have like more computer facilities? Because, of course, a lot of people go to the library and use the computer.
Yes.
But not just for like internet access, but also for 3D printing, VR. There's a lot of stuff that the library, and then they're also looking at things that a library could do. And to give you an example of that, in the Kitchener Library, I think it's Kitchener Library, they now rent some musical instruments, or lend musical instruments.
Yep.
Center Wellington Library lends Wi-Fi, like these Wi-Fi kits you can take home.
Yeah, hotspots.
So there, all these questions are in. So I realize people are kind of deeply cynical about, will there ever be a main branch of the library? And that's understandable, because I was looking back and it's been almost 10 years since that there was the controversy over that strip at on Upper Wyndham where Ray Mitchell's store used to be, and how the city was hemming and hawing about moving on that, and the landlords couldn't rent that space. So that's almost, that was almost 10 years ago. And of course, some significant things happened, like the stock market crash.
Yes.
So this is finally getting going. And I would tell people just sort of be on the lookout for those kind of advisories. And I know the library runs campaigns where they want people to mention how, why libraries matter, and get that feedback. So.
And I do know, I think it's still running right now. They are doing a survey through the public library. And I think if you go to their website, there's a...
I think it just pops up when you go to guelphpl.ca.
Yeah, and it just to share how you use the library and what you want.
Yeah, and so that's very important to feedback, and that will determine sort of what direction this takes, and also the demand, because you know, I think the throttle is down on this. People want to get going on this finally, because there was a near miss. They want to build on Baker Street, and there was some belief that the Cooperators was going to build there. And that did not come about. Cooperatives is building a new headquarters in the South End. But there are about five different parcels of land downtown that the city wants to rejuvenate, let's say. And Baker Street is one of them. So there is some movement, let's say. Next question.
All right. Well, what's the difference between the active transportation plan and the transportation master plan, and why all the controversy?
Those walkers, man.
Oh, I know. I hate them.
And those bike riders. Okay, the active transportation plan obviously is, as its name says, is active. So things like biking, things like walking, things like trails, and particularly off-road trail, the active transportation plan does take into account things like on-street bike lanes, but the point is to create a network of off-road trails that will basically take you around the city. You'll never have to go on a city road or sidewalk to get around the city.
Speedvale underpass?
Yes.
This is considered part of the active transportation plan, is
that's,
that right?
Yeah, and that's part of the controversy because the staff report came back and said that particular trail should not go forward as envisioned by council. And that got a lot of, almost about a dozen people came out to talk about, no, this has to happen. And a lot of their arguments were based on just traffic on Speedvale Avenue. One of the things I will note is this is kind of where you have to kind of thread the needle and read between the lines. It wasn't that they don't want a trail along there. It's just the trail as they envisioned it as part of the connecting it to the Trans-Canada Trail, there are certain provisions, making it part of the active transportation network, there are certain provisions. So they wanted to build a type of trail that was kind of like a boardwalk kind of trail. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, there are concerns with flooding. This is in a flood area. So
that's right where Silver Creek runs,
yes.
Isn't it?
Yes, it is. So yeah, it's a floodplain. It's an easily flooded area. So you don't want to have like part of your transportation network flooded.
Ideally, no.
Ideally,
unless you're transporting by boat.
Yes, but you probably not. It's not a decathlon where you're transferring from bike to boat and back again. The difference with the transportation master plan is taking into account all modes. So that's car. That's bus, that's bike, that's sidewalk. So
yeah, so it's your traditional road that would be multi-use for pedestrians, active transporters, public transporters, and single use or single vehicle.
Yes. Right. Yeah, and that's like charting like movement and how people are getting, not just the ways people are getting around, but how people are getting around, what percentage of people are in cars, what percentage of people are taking the bus or biking and so forth. And the course seems to be, unfortunately, when this report came back earlier this year, that seems to be more people are in their own car versus getting on the bus. And of course that's where some of the transit changes have come into effect in the hopes of getting more people on the bus, and we'll see what happens. I haven't had a chance to dig into it as of recording this on the weekend. But apparently ridership numbers were up 44% on the bus for September.
That's significant. 44%.
It's also significant when you think about all the reports of drop buses and things. So, and again, I'm not sure what the metrics were if as compared to year over year. Maybe there's just more students taking the bus this year versus last year. But it's maybe a hopeful sign. But that's the active transportation right now. It takes into account transportation as a whole across the city. And the active transportation network is that particular off-road trail. And the other bit of controversy, because there was controversy at council, I want to mention this before we go move on to the next question, was on the west side, actually. So near around where I live, there's really no trail connection between the northwest end of the city and the southwest end of the city, because, you know, the west end has a kind of a bit of a butt on it, let's say, in terms of city borders.
Yep.
So the only way to kind of get around that is to go under the Hanlon. And of course, there are a couple of problems. First of all, the private land, which is the Lafarge site. You're not going to build a public trail on private land, probably. And then there's going under the Hanlon, which on the other side, on the southwest side, is the quarry.
Yes, it runs right along the Dolam Quarry. So there's limited Guelph owned space there, or Guelph city space there.
Exactly, not a lot of wiggle room. So the Ward 4 councillors were making a very specific point of this. Mike Salisbury and Christine Billings were making a very specific point that there's kind of a hole in this anticipated network, or at least maybe too much anticipation because of that hole, that you're not going to create that citywide network when that whole area is a question mark.
So from active transportation to just straight up transportation, what, if anything, is currently being done to ready Guelph's infrastructure for alternative fuel vehicles or help encourage the transition from fossil fuels?
Yeah, this is an interesting question because I don't have a set answer. But I know there is a report coming back in, I think it is December, it's supposed to come back, and it has to do with Dan Gibson's motion about moving the city vehicle fleet to a net zero designation or a similar designation. So basically make it so that city vehicles aren't emitting or emitting as small as possible. So I imagine there will be some infrastructure implications of that in terms of where you would have to set up charging stations, or what kind of fuel and all these kinds of things. So there is movement on that, at least on the official city side of it. I don't know about private infrastructure. I know there are charging stations on campus here and a couple of different plazas around town. I know there's a new charging station, maybe in the last year, that was in the plaza next to Value Village, which I found odd. not that someone put in a charging station, but it just was kind of odd. I was walking past there and I saw this thing. I was like, what is that? Oh, it's a charging station for electric vehicles. Amazing. So it's slowly happening, and I imagine there will be some significant implications, because there is also a climate change office at the city of Guelph now. In City Hall, there's someone who's looking at implications of climate change and how Guelph can mitigate that. So I would keep my eye out for December again to see what comes of Dan Gimson's motion and what suggestions that office and city staff might have in terms of moving at least the city of Guelph as a their own vehicle fleet closer to a net zero or fossil free designation.
All right. Is there anything more that can be done about smokers at Guelph Central Station? And I will just maybe, you know, append that to mean a lot of public places. If it's not bus drivers, it's everyone else, the question asker reads.
What's interesting is there is the smoke-free Ontario law. This is, of course, a provincial thing. Smoke-free Ontario says you can't smoke in an enclosed space outdoors, which does include, at least in a theoretical basis, since you're probably not seeing a lot of people get charged, bus shelters. Yeah. And of course, the bus shelters do have no smoking signs up on them, and they say no smoking. And if you want to smoke, you're supposed to go 9 meters away. The problem is, of course, that it's not really well enforced, and the situation with that is, it's actually public health that's supposed to enforce it. That's not by law, because again, it's a provincial jurisdiction thing. So unless you're going to call the public health office and go, "Hey, there's some smokers here in Grand Central," almost said Grand Central Station, but it's Guelph's Grand Central, so Guelph Central Station, like get over here with your ticket book. That's kind of difficult. From what I understand, though, this is something that is in front of mind with the Transportation Advisory Committee. I think they are looking at the possibility of trying to bring forth some kind of additional Guelph bylaw, which will, of course, give Guelph's own bylaw officers authority to ticket people and or maybe or in the very at least issue warnings with some kind of authority. I know from personal experience how difficult it is as like a civilian just say, "Hey, it says non-smoking there." You know, maybe take it away.
Well, and it is challenging because the law is 9 meters from an enclosed space. But if you're at the bus station, 9 meters from an enclosed space is another enclosed space. You know, it's not, there aren't more than 9 meters between bus shelters. And I do understand, you know, just making a designated smoking area almost causes more trouble because now you have concentrated, you know, anyone who has to walk past is now suffering from this immensely concentrated secondhand smoke issue.
I'm going to tell a story from the hotel industry. Smokers are their own worst enemy. I when I worked in the hotel business, a lot of people would want the ground floor, and because they're smokers, they want a nice non-smoking room because then they don't have to deal with the smell. But they want to have a nice, easy, just step outside and light up as well. And I would have to chase people all the time who would go to the end of the hallways at the public exits and would just pop the door open and sit outside and smoke. It's like, well, no, you can't do this because, you know, I wouldn't drop chapter and verse because of statute 376 of the smoke-free Ontario. No, it's just, it would bother people and just say like, "Hey, you can't pop the door open because smoke wafts through. It carries." And, of course, the argument is it's cold outside or what have you. And it's like, well, maybe quit smoking. Not to sound heartless.
Yeah.
I know it's an addiction, but yeah, it's hard to get smokers in that frame of mind.
And this is only going to become more challenging once marijuana is legal.
Yes.
Despite the fact that there are a lot of regulations around where you can smoke it, it's going to become, I think, more of an issue. And then, you know, why can the smokers step outside
right.
and go have a cigarette, and I can't, and it's going to become very challenging over the next couple of years, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think, although I'm not sure how it's going to turn out, you know, I know a lot of people are worried that, certain people are worried that it's going to just take the lid off and we're all going to be potheads. But I always say nobody's waiting for pot to be legalized who really wants to smoke pot.
Yeah, so they're already smoking it.
To get to this person's question, there's some bad behavior out there, and people in a position to try and do something about it are hearing you. So hopefully there will be some action on that in the near future.
Yeah. And if you feel comfortable, take action and ask the person to move.
Yeah, you don't have to be mean about it.
If you feel comfortable.
Yeah, if you don't have to be mean about it, just be polite. It's like, hey, your cigarette's kind of bothering me, you know.
Yeah.
But people are jerks, so what are you going to do?
It's tough. All right. So this question, I think, really has a lot to do with this smoking issue as well. The homeless population who have been getting help at 40 Baker Street should have a better place than on the street to have meals and or smoke their cigarettes, for that matter.
Or do anything, for that matter.
Yeah, so we have to do something soon. City question mark. I guess that means...
Right.
What is the city doing to help the homeless population who are to hanging around, I guess, is the best way to say it.
Well, this is something I've been investigating, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, the thing I wrote in Quaff today got a lot of attention and a lot of people saying, yeah, right on. And then I started digging into it. And it's like, well, what is sort of the government's systemic response? And in Guelph, it's tough. One of the things somebody pointed out to me is there's no overarching social planning strategy or social planning group, which if you go to some place like Waterloo region, there are several groups that do this, but there are also overarching groups like in Cambridge. There's the Social Planning Committee of Cambridge and North Dumfries, which kind of organizes everybody as part of this umbrella group and how to attack poverty going on in their region.
Yep.
There's nothing like that in Guelph.
No.
So you have Ed Pickersgill, you know, with his mobile 40 Baker now, just like pulling up, you know, in the afternoon and helping people out how he can. You have Chalmers Food Bank. You have Guelph Food Bank. You have Hope House.
Royal City Church has their
Royal City
dinners.
Church, the drop-in center. Yep. And this is something I found interesting about the drop-in center and the shelters they run. They do dinner at Royal City Church. Mm-hmm. But they only do it 5 nights a week. Mm-hmm. On Friday and Sunday, you're on your own. So somebody was explaining this to me. You have to like basically fill up on Friday and Sunday in case you can't find dinner someplace.
Yeah.
There's also the fact that you have 28 days in the shelter. And it's possible there might be some kind of extension granted if like maybe you're a couple of days away from being able to secure a place.
Yeah.
But those are few and far between. And what happens is a lot of people do their 28 days. Mm-hmm. Live homeless on the street or in the park basically for 90 days and then go back and do their next 28 days. Mm-hmm. And that's not healthy. That's not addressing the problem. Yeah. You're giving somebody space, you know, three times a year, a warm bed to sleep on three times a year. That's not practical. Mm-hmm. So what I find about these is there are bigger systemic issues. And is it the city's responsibility? Yeah, I would say it's partially. But I would also point out that the way the city's set up, because social services are run through Wellington County, which is weird because when you look at a map of Wellington County, Guelph is like, I compared this to somebody the other day. It's like looking at Saturn where you have Guelph and then you have this ring called Wellington County around it. So, you know, it's bizarre because Guelph is farming it out to this other entity. And of course there was trouble in the Wellington County Guelph relationship for years and years.
Yeah.
There was a lot of friction. So that's finally back on track just in a communicative way and dealing with things in a kind of a friendlier way. But on top of that, Guelph has been behind in things like the establishment of a municipal housing corporation. That, you know, we were the last jurisdiction in Ontario to do that. We were the last jurisdiction in Ontario to establish a legal aid clinic. So it's a mess, to be frank.
One thing I do think is a positive thing that has come out of 40 Baker Street closing is that 40 Baker was, it was almost ghettoized. It's a street that not many people would go down for any reason. So there is a large population of people who would hang out there, who would spend time, who would smoke, who would, you know, just be with their social network, which happened to be other people who are at 40 Baker. Now that's closed. All of those people now have spread out around the downtown area. So it is so much more visible now. You know, I see there are a lot of, I'll say kids, and I don't actually know what their age is, but I'm terribly old, so they're all kids to me.
There are a lot of kids
who spend time at the train station. You know, they're sitting on the benches out back, or they're sitting on the benches right by the little monument.
Right.
You know, and I also do see a lot of the sort of community police officers, you know, just walking through saying, hey, how you doing? Some of them, you know, sort of leave when they see the police. Some of them just say, hey, we're, you know, great, great. But I just, I see now smaller pockets of four or five and six people in different areas of downtown. And what it's forcing us to do is to see them. Realize they were there.
I think you're absolutely right. On 40 Baker was like out of sight, out of mind. And to Ed's credit, he was, you know, there was art and there was activities there and a place to hang out and a place to receive assistance. But yeah, you're right. It's kind of in your face now because it's not hiding there behind Baker Street anymore.
And the other thing that I'm seeing is a lot more people be more compassionate to them and actually stop and talk and introduce themselves and how are you and who are you and what are you doing? And I think that's beautiful. And I hope more days out of the week than I can be that person.
Yeah.
I hope to be that person who can stop and say, hey, how's it going?
All right. And the next phase of this, of course, is to start putting on that public pressure and saying like, hey, look at all these people struggling. We have to do something to help them and we have to be more proactive about it because unfortunately, unless something like out of poverty society closing and being shut out of their building, there's not much. And of course, this is partially my fault as a member of the media machine. It's a systemic problem, and those are the most difficult to cover. And that's why it doesn't get as much attention as it could. Because again, I was talking to Ed Pickersgill and it's like, where can I begin on poverty stuff? And he's like, well, it all goes back to the 1980s. And I'm like, oh, good Lord.
Oh, yeah.
When you have to get in the way back machine to start attacking.
It's a systemic problem. So yeah, there is no easy entry into the
issue. That's the toughest part of it.
Yep. All right, let's move on to much happier topics.
Excellent.
What's the deal with the Guelph Hydro merger?
That's direct. As people know, Guelph Hydro is exploring merger options. There is a strategic operations committee that is looking at the future of Guelph Hydro. As people will recall, earlier this year they took sale off the table, and they also took Guelph Hydro sort of merging with somebody else off the table. In terms of becoming a bigger entity itself, of Guelph Hydro being merged into a bigger entity. Now Guelph Hydro is looking to merge and make itself a bigger entity by partnering with other potential local distribution companies. The other option, of course, is to keep everything exactly the same and keep Guelph Hydro the size it is and publicly owned. So what's happening right now is there was a closed meeting the other night, which means council was discussing things behind closed doors without the gallery or the press. And we all love those. Mm-hmm. But the two topics of discussion were creating a committee to discuss mergers and talking about potential merger partners. So there is something afoot on this in terms of perhaps looking at strongly suggesting that there's a partner out there or partners and that there may be a merger opportunity. Again, who that is with is unsure, but it's probably someone in the area. It could be something like maybe Halton Hills Hydro, perhaps the Cambridge North Dumfries Hydro, could be maybe even as far away as Festival Hydro, which services Stratford and those kind of surrounding areas, or Central Wellington's even. That's the tricky part is, you know, if we're merging with these other entities, you know, it has to be someone relatively close in order to take really full advantage of things like combining services. So the short answer is something is happening. So I would say stay tuned. The next special meeting on this, I think, is in December. Mm-hmm. So there may be something more substantive coming out of that closer to December.
All right, more money talk.
Excellent.
With interest rates on the rise, is council planning on increasing payments on the debt?
When I got this question, I was like, oh no, what do I don't know? Because admittedly, I'm not a money person.
You and me both.
I just don't mean not that I don't have any. I just mean that it's you know, dealing with
interest rates and AAA credit rating.
To quote the evil robot in Avengers Age of Ultron, finance is so weird. But yeah, there is a debt. It's the city of Guelph does have a debt. Now, you may think that's weird because for the operating budget, the city has to account for every dollar and cent. Mm-hmm. This operating wise, the city can't run a debt, which is of course a law that was passed during the Mike Harris conservatives in the 90s. Mm-hmm. So yeah, operating budgets wise speaking, Guelph can't have a debt,
yeah,
legally speaking. But for long-term capital, mm-hmm, and construction costs, yes, the city of Guelph can carry a debt. So I did look it up. I looked up what our debt is. And as of December 31st, 2014, which was the last numbers I could find for it, for some reason, at least in, mm-hmm, just quickly Googling it, it was like $124.3 million. And a lot of that is, I mean, in recent years, a lot of that was added from the Elliott, the city of Guelph taking on the Elliott. The Elliott, mm-hmm, had a huge debt load. And it is still run, at least so far as last year, it was still running a deficit, less than $1 million. So they got it under $1 million, and they were, yeah, really, the city was super pleased about that. Also, the Wellington Dufferin Guelph Health Unit built a new facility down the road on Chancellor's Way.
Mm-hmm.
That was about an $8 million spend that the city couldn't account for, so that was debt financed as well. The rules are, and I'm going to quote here, the province authorized municipalities to incur long-term debt for municipal infrastructure as long as annual debt servicing, so that's the principal and interest, does not exceed 25% of net revenues. Right now, the city's debt servicing is at 4.7%, so that's not bad. That's, mm-hmm, one-fifth. So to answer this person's question about what the city's doing about it, I would point to the infrastructure levy as something that they're doing about it, because, yeah, you know, when you read those rules, you got to be super careful, because if you, mm-hmm, go too far into debt, you get the credit card too much, then you are starting to really throw off your, mm-hmm, your books, because you have to at least finance the or at least service the debt and pay, mm-hmm, the principal and pay the interest, or else, you know, you're SOL. But yeah, I'm not sure how much emphasis the city's putting on it. They're very focused on not adding to that debt, mm-hmm, hence the infrastructure levy.
Yeah.
With interest rates going up, the thing I would point out is people haven't really thought about that in the last maybe 10 years.
Yeah, interest rates have been so low.
Right.
Historically low rates for so long.
Yeah.
So it's a good time to get into debt. I think is what the government is trying to tell us.
Any point along the list, but of course there is concern because I think the idea is that this is unsustainable.
Mm-hmm.
The low interest rates, and that they're trying to find reasons to increase it, like any sign or hope in the economy to finally start increasing and start addressing the fact that there's been easy money on the table for the last 10 years. So I'm not sure how big a concern it is. You know, maybe it's something that council might. It might occur to them now and then, but to sort of assuage fears, the thing with the infrastructure levy is to make sure that the city isn't going to go deeper into debt trying to address the infrastructure backlog, as opposed to just trying to do straight up debt financing, which is what a lot of projects have done in the last few years. So,
hmm. All right.
But send me more financial questions.
Yes. I think you handled that very well.
Thank you.
All right. Totally going a separate direction now again.
Okay.
What election rules, I suspect this is municipal, so what,
yes,
municipal election rules are changing next year, and what should I know if I want to run for council?
I think this person is referring to what was talked about at a committee this past Monday. There were two kind of main rule changes that people who are thinking about running should be made aware of, is you can't use, you can't campaign on city property, so you can't go out in front, mm-hmm, of City Hall.
I'm pretty sure that was a reactionary policy.
Yeah. and you know, with your sandwich boards and say vote for me, you also can't take your picture at Market Square. Mm-hmm. So no one's going to be able to get dressed in their nice suit and go down to Market Square and do the, look, I'm going to be a counselor routine and get mm-hmm. their picture taken. So that's they're not going to be able mm-hmm. to use that. The other thing is they can't use like the City of Guelph logo and flag and mm-hmm. motto and things like that. Any City of Guelph material.
I feel like these were both general sort of rules that mm-hmm. weren't actually rules. People just sort of accepted that mm-hmm. you couldn't do that, and I think now they've codified them.
Yes. And there was also the rules that are affecting councillors, the people who are on city council and thinking about running again. They can't use like their city BlackBerry because all mm-hmm. the members of council have the city device that they can do city business on. They can't use their computer that City Hall for campaign stuff. So theoretically,
their email addresses.
So if someone emails them, like through the Guelph.ca email address and ask a campaign question, they would have to politely respond, like, "Well, email this address instead because I can't do campaign stuff." So there's that, and then just the general. What I will note, for coming from the province, there were a number of changes mm-hmm. That the province made last year. I think it was last year. So if you're, saving up your pennies and getting your petitions ready and eagerly anticipating January 2nd mm-hmm. to launch your campaign, hold off because the campaign is actually starting on May 1st. That's the first day you can fill out your papers and apply as a trustee or a councillor or mayor candidate.
And thank God for that, because last municipal election really was, an 8-month long affair.
Yeah.
And it was, it's just a lot of work and it cost a lot for the candidates, but it's also, for the voters, it's just like, whoa, this is, it's a lot of information to take in. Changes, mood changes are so different throughout an electorate. So,
and another thing I know, when you watch the website that the city keeps adding new candidates on, is that there's kind of a lull. Like, there are a lot of like keeners who are out first thing, and there are a lot of people in before the deadline. But then there's like a space between like March and June, July anyway, where you get maybe one person every couple of weeks or a couple of people every couple of weeks. So it, to shorten the election cycle, just it makes sense in a lot of ways.
Speaking of elections, electoral promises.
Oh, yeah?
When will the new Taco Bell restaurant be built?
I can't remember who made the Taco Bell pledge.
I don't believe anybody actually made a Taco Bell pledge, at least not in so. In
before this decade is out, we will have a Taco Bell. Good question. I think there is one being built near me on Silver Creek.
Yeah, it's a twofer with a KFC, isn't it?
Yes, yep. I believe that is the intent. When I was kind of in that area earlier last week, they're working on the outside. They're putting up the siding on the outside. So they still have the inside to do, but my guess would be for this particular Taco Bell, you'd probably be able to get your tacos at Christmas time. Mm-hmm. You could be able to get your Christmas tacos.
And can I suggest that if you're looking for Mexican food, and that is why you're so concerned about the Taco Bell. There is a nice Mexican restaurant at the corner of Westwood and Willow, and they changed their name, so I don't actually know what the name is anymore. It used to be a different name. I don't know. But so there is a Mexican restaurant there, so if you want Mexican food, you can go there. Unfortunately, Latinos has shut down, which has made many of us very sad. You can get some excellent Chilean food at Market at the Salsateria, and the what was the Salsateria location but is now independently owned by the entire Van Gogh's district sort of thing. I'm not sure what they've retitled themselves. Rebel Foods? No. Los, I don't know. But the little walk-up stand there, you can get soft-shell tacos, regular tacos, burritos. So you can get all of those things that Taco Bell serves at other places in Guelph. I know it's not Taco Bell, and you can't maybe get the cinnamon crisps if they still make them at Taco Bell, but...
Very good. And now a word from our sponsor, Taco Bell.
No. All right. This one's a little small writing here. Let's see.
Okay.
John Tory rode the TTC not long ago. CBC did a story. Doing something similar with Mayor Cam could be cool. Can we challenge Mayor Cam to take transit to City Hall for 1 week or 1 month or even just once? Well, he has done it just once.
Yeah, he was on the inaugural 99. Go for it. I mean, I know there have been a lot of councillors who have taken the bus. I know Phil Alt's done a lot.
Did Mike Salisbury take the challenge?
I believe he did. I know Dan Gibson did. Leanne Piper did. A lot of people. James Gordon gets around on his bike a lot. So
he sure does.
I'm sure he's taken the bus on occasion. So, I mean, I think we have a sympathetic council to transit concerns. To challenge the mayor to like try and like actually do his job riding on the bus, that would be interesting. I'm not sure it's wholly practical given everywhere that Mayor Guthrie turns up in a day.
Yeah, it's really not. It's and I don't believe that we can ever, and I'm a public transit user and an active transport user, I'm not sure that we can ever ask public transit to be able to move people at the rate that a public person like the mayor would have to move.
Right.
But for them to get to and from one or two places a day, I think we can ask transit to facilitate that.
Yeah. Even if it's just like him leaving his car at City Hall and then taking the bus to City Hall in the morning and then taking it back to his home at night, that, you know, I think there's some, I mean, you can ask. I think if you asked Mayor Guthrie, I think you might find him fairly sympathetic. What I will say is I think he's been fairly concerned about some of the things that have been said since the realignment. There have been a lot of concerns, a lot of chatter online about drop buses and things and where transit can do better, and I think he's been fairly responsive on that. I do get a feeling that this council does want to do something with transit, and I think at this point maybe there's some curiosity about how transit is maybe an immovable beast that requires more than one person getting out and pushing.
Yeah.
So it's a community effort.
I do believe Mayor Cam has also shown concern around bus stops and the facilities available to people waiting at bus stops.
Yeah.
He has mentioned that he'd like to see bus shelters at every stop, which is a lot of infrastructure, frankly.
Yeah.
But he has, you know, concern that he believes that people should be able to wait for their bus in comfort. And
if I may add, not just shelters, but somewhere to sit at the shelters.
Garbage disposal.
Garbage.
That is the one thing. Like, I'm not particularly concerned myself about seating or the shelter, but I am very mobile, so I know that that's me, and there are other people who do need that. But a garbage, for the love of God, on every city property, you know, sort of city-maintained property, why can't I find a garbage?
I hear you. No, that's a big one. Is this the last question?
It's the last question.
Oh,
I saved
goodness.
The best for last.
I thought the Taco Bell one was the best, but okay.
Why can't the city fund a news or media outlet to keep Guelph informed? It's an interestingly worded question. Why would the city fund news?
Well, this actually came up at, I was at the Breezy Breakfast. Mm-hmm.
This isn't a capital C city, right? This is Guelph.
I'm not sure that was how he phrased it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he did phrase it just sort of as capital C city of Guelph. And I think obviously
that should never happen.
No. Well, I'm not sure exactly what he meant by fun, whether he meant like having this is City of Guelph News. I'm Tom Thompson or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if it's something like if the City of Guelph funded me, for example, which I probably wouldn't accept.
Yes. No, I don't believe that
there's a 76% chance I wouldn't accept. Mm-hmm. But but
gets lower every day.
65% chance. No, I think what he's saying is just, you know, in terms of things like when you have these statutory public meetings about new development, like if you suddenly find out in the next road over that they're going to build like a 20-story apartment tower, that's probably something you want to know.
Yeah. So that's city communications.
Well, there's part of that too, but I think people also are thinking because the biggest thing with media right now is money, right?
Yeah.
Well, where's a steady source of money? government. So I think people are looking like, why can't you just like, and I think people are also thinking about the CBC, because mm-hmm. who funds the CBC, right? So why can't we have like a Guelph CBC or something like that? Not a CBC brand name, but yeah. you know, like a Guelph sponsored yes. or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
And that's problematic for a number of reasons, because at what point does, you know, maybe City of Guelph step in with you not running something that mm-hmm. casts the city in a yeah, bad light?
Because I don't believe the CBC does that, but there are certain people who believe that the CBC
right.
It runs pretty partisan.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's true, too. And I know there are a lot of people who are concerned with the news in the city, and there's mm-hmm. not being enough news. And I mean, there's a lot of stuff being discussed. I mean, certainly announcements are well covered.
Yep.
City council is fairly well covered mm-hmm. In terms of just like the movements and things passed and what's on the agenda and things like that. What is kind of getting missed is like the things we were talking about, the poverty mm-hmm. story.
Yep.
Things like you require access to information requests for. Mm-hmm. Access to information requests are, you know, it says on the application that you take to City Hall. It's a $5 application. Now you may think $5 gets you your information. No, it doesn't. No. It's $7.50 for every half hour, for every quarter yeah. hour yeah. to do the research.
A person has to do that work.
Right. And then it's $7.50 for every quarter hour to compile it. So there yeah. might be some redaction or something like that. Or if it's like particularly old, like collating and photocopying and things. So it's, you know, you could spend hundreds of dollars on an access to information request. So where does that money come from? That's mm-hmm. the trick. That's the real trick. So my advice to people is, if you want more news, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to pay for it. And yeah. this is another shift in thinking. We're kind of gotten used to news for free, and I think Guelph Today, speaking as a Guelph Today contributor, doesn't mm-hmm. help that a lot, because it doesn't really has advertising, but otherwise it doesn't ask for anything from the city in terms of a subscription. Mm-hmm. The small C city,
yeah.
In terms of a subscription or a Patreon or something like that, mm-hmm. I have my Patreon. But yeah, it's, you know, there has to be some kind of ownership on the part of the news consumer mm-hmm. or the person who desires more news. That if you have a business, you can talk with your business by buying advertising. If you
yes.
have, if it's just you. You need to talk with your own personal wallet, like $2 a month, $5 mm-hmm. a month. It's hard. And it's for every person who maybe eagerly awaits the delivery of their Guelph Tribune every week, there's mm-hmm. five people for whom it sits and rots in a plastic yeah. bag at the end of their driveway.
Yes.
So it's going to be, there was a nice old lady I met at the Breezy Breakfast who was like, well, I don't really have a computer. So, I make it to the library occasionally and mm-hmm. I go online and I'm like, oh, that's nice. And I'm sympathetic, yep. of course. But this is a huge generational shift, mm-hmm. too, that if you don't have a computer, you're going to have to get on a computer.
Yeah.
You're going to have to learn the computer. You're going to have to...
That's why we need libraries.
And that's why we need libraries. But yeah, it's... if you're waiting for a daily newspaper to come mm-hmm. back, and if you're waiting for some angel investor like some Jeff Bezos mm-hmm. to drop in and say, I'm restarting the Guelph Mercury, you're going to be waiting a while.
Yeah. So I will come clean. I am a Patreon supporter of Adam's work.
We're super transparent.
I do believe that if someone does work of value, that they should receive value back. Mm-hmm. Now, you have asked for money by creating this Patreon, so that is how I support you, by literally giving you money. Mm-hmm. The Tribune does have a subscription model. You can subscribe to the Tribune. So
yeah.
if you do believe that the Tribune is delivering you value, please do subscribe and give them their weekly money. That will only help them. They have done a really amazing job in picking up some slack, but they are still just a community paper that comes out twice a week.
Yeah.
Their website, they do actually put out more news because it's the Guelph Mercury Tribune now.
Right.
And they're trying to maintain more Guelph content. And Guelph Today, if you are an online news person, that's how you get your news, share their articles,
mm-hmm.
you know, do a lot of sharing of their stuff, and click on the ads.
Yeah.
For the love of God, just click on the ads, right? That is literally the way that you are paying for Guelph Today content is through the advertising. So click on the ads so that, you know, they're still a really new, it's only been, what, 2 years now, a year and a half?
Mm-hmm.
So they're still super new, and I know that they are really trying to get out there and to sell advertising, and it's really hard if they don't have, records to say this is how often your ad is going to be seen or how often it's going to be clicked. And so they're limited in the number of ads they sell because there aren't that many people who are ready to buy in. So if you click on an ad, you are helping.
Or, and this may be less helpful, but telling someone you may going into a business saying, I saw your ad on Guelph Today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because then there's that instant feedback. And to bring it back to me, what I'll add is if you like this podcast and maybe you listen to it on Stitcher or Google Play or something, download it because that helps my metrics. Because if people are downloading something, that means they're really, even if, say, they miss a week and it's just automatically downloaded, it is a more, shall we say, vivid indication of how serious people take this podcast and how much it's part of their news diet. So,
And I will say I'm happy to provide you the monthly payment, Adam, because honest to God, anytime I want to know something that's going on in the city, and particularly when I want to find the council agenda, I just go to your website because it is on the City of Guelph website, but there's so much content on there and it's really hard to find the specific thing that I'm looking for. And I know that I can always count on you to put out the agenda so I can read it ahead of time.
You already earned your kickback, Candace. But
no, but honestly, I do it. I can't even tell you how many times someone's like, hey, what's on the agenda for the council meeting? Well, let me just go check it out for you. I know exactly where to find that information.
Well, I appreciate that. And that is one of the goals of Politico and to sort of make this stuff more digestible. And I hope this this little Q&A session was informative to people, and I hope everybody's questions were answered, and maybe we'll do it again.
And thank you for asking me to help out with this.
I'm grateful that that you were willing to take part, and we got you on the Guelph Politicast. So now you've been on open. I think you've been on. Yeah, you have been on open sources. You're on Ed Credits. You're on the Guelph Politicast. You got the Politicast trifecta. Your certificate's in the mail.
Yes. I only had to pay $10 a month for it.
Thank you, Candace. So I hope you all found that informative. And if you'd like, we can do it again sometime. In the meantime, I will ask you to send any queries to me, and I'll tell you how to do that in a minute. You can also submit questions for any of our counselor guests that we have on Open Sources Guelph. And we'll be doing our annual Ask Mayor Cam special sometime before year's end. Thanks again to Candace LaPage for playing Quizmaster. And that trifecta certificate will be in the mail in about 6 to 8 weeks. So be on the lookout for that. And a programming note, at the end of this month, the Politicast will be going down to every other week as we get into the busy budget season, and then hopefully back to weekly after the start of the year. Those plans are being developed at the moment, so stay tuned for more information about all those doings in the weeks ahead. And that's it for this week's edition of the Guelph Politicast. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics and Sid Dale. The host for the Guelph Politicast is Podbean. Go to guelphpoliticast.podbean.com to listen to past episodes, and while you're there, you can also listen to Open Sources Guelph. If you missed last Thursday's episode on CFRU, you can download it via the Politicast channel on Podbean. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at Adam A. Donaldson. You can go to the Guelph Politico Facebook page at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And you can donate anytime to Guelph Politico on Patreon at patreon.com/guelphpolitico. If you like locally sourced independent media in the city of Guelph, please consider donating. And for all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.blogspot.ca, where there will be a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you shortly. And until then, see you next time.